Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovek on Bloomberg Radio.
Let's get right to it, because joining us once again is Tim Kelly. He's the mayor of Chattanooga, Tennessee, back in our studio. Chattanooga, by the way, was among the first cities selected back in 2015 to participate in Bloomberg Philanthropy's What Works Cities initiatives. And then in 2021, Mayor Kelly named as a member of the fifth class of global mayors to participate in the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative program. And this is, of course, done with Bloomberg Philanthropy's. We just like full disclosure to put it out there. Mayor Kelly, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Well, it's great to have you here. It's been about a year.
It has been, yes.
What's changed?
Well, I think we're back on the good foot. I think there was, again, as we were talking about, there's a lot of anxiety a year ago coming out of COVID, but Chattanooga's in a good place. It's great to see Manhattan in a good place.
We're
again.
Getting there.
We're getting there.
There's some vacancy still.
Right, but we've got again our world famous internet's gotten even faster in Chattanooga since we last spoke,
and which was an initiative that we talked about last time, and you guys were really working on it.
We did, and we're up to 25 gigs of speed, and have a new quantum initiative we're working on there. We have the world's first commercially available quantum network now.
Is that for all the working from home folks, or what is that?
Well, the quantum network is going to be really more for research at this point. We have yet to see where that will bear fruit. But again, the fast internet, and I should say symmetrical fast internet, has really been helpful with the work from home group. We had a lot of folks come in during the pandemic, and they've
and
stayed.
Staying?
They are staying.
To Carol's point, though, on that initiative, how is it impacting the demographic of workers in the city?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, frankly, from a mayoral perspective, it's hard to get our arms around, right? We have this long tail of talent that's there in typical economic development. You know, you have a new CEO, you come and talk to everybody, there's 500 people. We don't have a really great way of getting our arms around, you know, who's there and what talent they do have to leverage those talents. I mean, I bump
what
into
do you
people.
Mean you don't have a way?
Well, there's not a flag to run up the flagpole to say, hey, all the new people, you know, come in and introduce
data.
Yourselves,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they are there, and they're adding to, you know, as we run across them, adding them, weaving them into the civic life of the city, and it's making Chattanooga a better place.
What's the toughest part of being a mayor right now? And I'm just thinking, you just put out a new budget.
You know, I was talking to with the City Leadership Initiative, which is fantastic, and we're forever grateful to Bloomberg for that, to a public health professor who said, you know, the pandemic was bad enough in its own right, but I think what people have forgotten, it's a bit like somebody put their hand in the middle of a waterbed and just pushed down, right? So the at the margins in particular, cities are still dealing with the wreckage of addiction and mental health. I mean, we know where homelessness has been a terrible problem. So all of those issues, I mean, we are still in the middle of a mental health crisis nationally, I think. And I think there are a lot of cities that are coping with that well, and some not so well. So we've had a good track record. We were able to reduce our point in time count with our unsheltered population by almost 40%. So, you know, we're making good progress there, but it's tough for mayors. It's tough because it's our responsibility.
You know, it was interesting. I was talking with someone from Milken yesterday who's created a mental wellness app. And one of the things that he mentioned is the shortage of therapists. That
That's
even
right.
in an online app, that you just don't have enough therapists out there.
Yeah. And when I came into office, we established an Office of Community Health. And that is my vision for that department as we pivot out of COVID, is really to focus on mental health and emotional health. And we've got to figure out a way to get more people into the industry. Because you're right, on a per capita basis, I mean, Chattanooga is way, way behind the curve. And so that's the first step to solving it.
I want to follow on that only because also at Milk and I moderated a panel on real estate. And one of the things that they talked about, again, is that there's not enough workers in the housing industry to build homes. And the net of that was, and I'm curious how you feel about this, is immigration and just saying we need to kind of open up the borders, let folks in.
Well,
especially when we've got an aging demographic population here.
I'm an extremely practical person. I'm a big Francis Suarez and says it all the time, the mayor of Miami, but there are really three political parties in the United States, right? Republicans, Democrats, and mayors. I mean, we have to be relentlessly practical.
Right.
Clearly we need meaningful immigration reform. I will say in Chattanooga, we've started a career construction academy to train kids as they, it's something that they can go to while they're still in high school to learn the trades and try to build a pipeline of talent into that industry. And we're taking a similar approach across our educational system to try to meet, the needs of industry.
Can I talk to you about another issue that you mentioned earlier, which is mental health specifically related to drug use?
Yeah.
I know that's an issue for the entire nation, but I feel like cities are like little nations and you're the president of your city.
Sort of.
Can you talk to me a little bit about how you're thinking about opioid overdoses and what can be done to
Look, it's a terrible problem, and you see it move around on the map, and again, we're dealing with it in Chattanooga, and the all of our first responders, of course, are carrying Narcan, and it's tough. I mean, it's been really, really hard on our police and our paramedics and first responders. We have to we're Tennessee, unfortunately, it's not a Medicare expansion state, makes it more difficult, and we are doing our best to keep up. We're fortunate that Chattanooga has a lot of great philanthropic assets, one of which is the Chattanooga Area Drug Addiction Center, Treatment Center, but the beds are full. So, we need more beds and we need more help.
What? Go ahead, Maddie. No, you go ahead.
I just wonder what's missing, right? Like, what help would you want from the federal level even?
Funding, funding for training and for treatment, I think. Again, our strategy around the unsheltered population is really, we bought a motel now. This is not up and running, but it will be for what's called permanent supportive housing, right? Which essentially is proctored housing to get folks back on their feet and get them the help they need, whether that's, it's generally, right? It's not one thing, it's many things. And there's a lot of sort of comorbidities, I suppose you'd say, with addiction and mental health. So that's the next step for us in filling out our, what we can control in terms of our strategy.
Why is it happening still? Why is there such addictions?
Well, I'm not a mental health expert. Again, I'm a mayor. You have to be a little good at everything. But I think it's hard for people who are doing well and not in a state of crisis and not on the margins to relate. But, of course, at any given time, there are a lot of people struggling for whatever reason. And, again, I think the COVID crisis was hugely disruptive, and it just really flipped a lot of people over the edge.
So you think that's what it is?
I do.
Do you think we still oversubscribe or prescribe?
I don't think I have a prescription. I'm not a,
I don't mean to put you in.
I feel like we've
been talking about this for a while.
Yeah.
And I agree, like more treatment centers and, training so that people can deal with it. But I always think about how do we get to the core of what creates the problem?
Well, I noticed recently that the state of Wyoming, a very Republican state, it's a really interesting article in the Casper Star Tribune, taken a different approach to mental health, where, again, not something you would expect to see out of a Republican state, is really focusing on the social determinants of health. And that was great news to me, because ultimately it's practical and commonsensical, and I'm hopeful we can take a similar approach across the country.
And we're going to come back and talk a little bit more, but I feel like it all must go down to prioritizing and budgeting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when you're looking at your sort of balance sheet for the city, what is your thinking on how you're going to allocate your resources and where you're going to take from to give from, given that the issues are always changing.
Because you have to have a balanced budget, don't you?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we just had a budget, and unfortunately it included some staffing cuts, and it's tough. Always tough. But so again, Office of Community Health that I established coming in, we have a community development department. And again, my focus is to get them focused on mental health in the neighborhoods, right? I mean, establishing those sort of things that bring people together. The Surgeon General has talked a lot about this epidemic of loneliness, right? Yeah. Bringing people back together, and again, focusing on those social determinants of health. It's interesting, as part of Bloomberg Philanthropies program, we had an innovation cohort looking at the causes of youth gun violence, which is a terrible epidemic, particularly in the South. And guess what they found? That it's young men in crisis, right?
Yeah.
That need mentorship, that need people to talk to. And so that's the strategy we're going to take. And that is the focus that we'll take from a budgetary perspective.
I feel like we hear that a lot.
Yeah.
It's young men in crisis.
That's
and,
right.
And so they're ending up going into some really tough paths.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do, that's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Let's get back to our guest, Tim Kelly, mayor of Chattanooga, Tennessee, here in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. As we said, he participated in the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative program, and his city has also been singled out before that, and this is all part of the Bloomberg Philanthropies programs. Mayor Kelly, a lot of different issues. I was just coming back from Milken. We talked about regional banking. We talked about concerns about real estate, particularly office. There's a lot of focus on green technology. I want to go through a couple of things, if we may. First of all, regional banking, is it impacting you guys at all?
I haven't seen anything in Chattanooga along those lines. No, thank goodness. I think, again, I saw the news on TD and First Horizon, but to my knowledge, you know, the wheels are still moving along nicely in our part of the world.
And the economy's moving along and banks are lending and
it is.
Getting mortgages and being able to move
along. Unemployment rate in Chattanooga is a tenth of a point away from its lowest ever rate. So, I mean, the economy is chugging along nicely in Chattanooga.
And I know lower than the national rate.
Yes.
Let's also talk about, so the outlook in terms of when we talk about recession, inflationary pressures, you guys are doing okay.
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, again, we've obviously seen inflationary pressure there. I mean, our budget was, when I came into office, I had to give 24% raises across the board to our police and fire and public works employees, and it was tough because, again, costs kept going up, and so we just did a budget that includes not only a step plan but a COLA, but it's tough. It's not catastrophically tough. I hear tougher stories around other cities from other mayors, but we're managing.
Affordable housing.
Big
which has
issue.
Been an initiative for you guys.
That is a big issue. And again, last year's budget I set aside, again, not a huge number for a city like Chattanooga it is, however, the $100 million fund to subsidize that and managed to recruit a really great chief housing officer out of the city of New Orleans named Nicole Heyman, who is creating a toolbox for us to create and subsidize affordable housing. And we've been able to create about, last year and in this year's budget, about 1,000 units, and we'll continue on that roll.
So is it rental or ownership?
Both. Okay. We're looking at some shared equity models for ownership, because one of our goals is obviously to close wealth gaps in our community. And so I don't see how we do that without finding ways to, you know, have the historically disadvantaged populations participate in the equity of home ownership.
We did a Business Week story about Austin, Texas, which we were just talking about, and how a lot of the new housing there happens to be for very high income individuals. Yeah. Because if you're a developer, why would you not, you know,
right,
market to the highest bidder?
Well, that's right. I mean, if you're gonna, you know, you've got 500 square feet, why would you not sell it to the highest builder? So I think that's where wise, thoughtful, you know, government can intervene and essentially work with. We're in the process of rewriting our zoning code, and again, I'm a market guy. We're going to work with the market, but I think we can create thoughtful incentives. And I think probably the easiest way to do that is to de-risk investment, work with the capital stack to make sure that, you know, either you're guaranteeing a certain return or doing loan loss funds to make sure that investments are safer. So,
if you're a markets guy, how do you not prioritize grow, 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 which would turn you into the eventual Austin?
Well, again, my parks and outdoors manager, Scott Martin, says this all the time, like, bigger is not better. Better is better, right? We are.
Nice.
We have Nashville to our northwest. Yeah. We have Atlanta to our southeast. We're not going to be those cities. We don't want to be those cities. Chattanooga is a very green city. It's a beautiful city. I'd like to think we have... the crown and the jewel in our crown, rather, is really our quality of life. And so it is somewhat of a Goldilocks problem, right? I mean, we want to make sure that we don't endanger that. We're already dealing with more congestion, and we have had a lot of folks move in, but, you know, that's my job to manage that.
So much freight goes through you.
Tons.
Man, I saw a statistic, roughly 80% of the nation's freight passing through your city en route to its final destination.
Yes, it's a big issue.
It's a big issue.
Right.
So how do you manage that? How do you benefit, but also protect, as you say, what is wonderful about the city?
Well, we are working with an organization called Thrive Regional Partnership to look at ways that we can make, again, it would take many, many years to build a bypass around Chattanooga, but the governor, Bill Lee, has in this year's budget put forth a plan for choice lanes, which the state of Texas already has. Cleverly named, right? They're toll lanes by choice. That will certainly help, and I think Chattanooga is going to get some priority in that regard, and that will certainly help. Again, our Chattanooga is a really mountainous place with a lot of curvy roads going through, so it's a pain point for us.
So I love what you said earlier about three parties: Republicans, Democrats, and mayors.
Yes,
you are an independent.
I am. You know,
why?
Because I was very much taken with this book that Bruce Katz wrote called The New Localism, and it was right after Trump got elected. Not to go there, but let's just say that I was kind of mortified by the leadership, if nothing else, the style and the thesis of that book really is that cities have more power than they've ever had. And again, this is a very Bloomberg thought as well, because of revolutions in technology and finance to improve the lives of their citizens. And look, 80-90% of the GDP in the world is produced in cities. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of innovation is produced in cities. We're at a time when democracy is under threat. I mean, this is the time where cities need to shine. And so, I was very taken by that. And it was a way for me to very frankly duck out of the partisan mess and focus on what was in front of me, which was making my city the best city it could be.
Sounds like you could take that on the campaign trail.
What are your aspirations,
longer term? You're 2 years in, right?
Yes. I mean, my aspirations are to make Chattanooga the best city in America, and then I'll worry about the rest of it.
And one of the parties calls you up and says, hey, Tim, you know?
I just can't see it, honestly, Carol.
Really?
First, I'd have to get permission from my wife, which would be incredibly difficult. But I mean, I would never say never. I would never say that. But again, I've also learned not to take my eye off the ball. And I am 100% focused on my city as what I love. And so that's where my attention is.
Well, this was really fun.
Thank you
for always finding time to stop by and talk to us, because I agree that I think talking to our mayors tells us so much about what's really going on the ground.
It's where it's at. I agree, and I appreciate the opportunity.
But you still like New York sushi, I hear.
Love it. Thank you. Yeah.
Tim Kelly, be well.
Thank you, man.
Safe travels
home. Great to
see
you.
Great to see you. Mayor of Chattanooga, Tennessee, back here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio. You're listening and watching Bloomberg Business Week on radio, on YouTube, on Bloomberg Originals. Carol Masser, along with Madison Mills, and this is Bloomberg.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.